Hey guys, welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. Grace to you. Thank you for listening in today as we begin our work in the ninth verse of Romans 5. If you missed yesterday, I highly recommend that 8-minute podcast that was the framework for where this verse fits, not just within the chapter, but within the book and within the church of the first century. Romans 5:9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And yesterday we dealt with the idea of what it would have meant to a reader of the book of Romans to be saved from wrath. And I want to point out again, Romans 4:15, the law brings about wrath. Christ saved the reader, the first century reader of the book of Romans, from wrath. The wrath that came down upon the Mosaic system, what Luke called the days of vengeance when Jerusalem is compassed about with armies, that would happen 15 to 20 years after the writing of this letter. And those who had believed on Christ were saved from that wrath. And it coincides with what Paul would say to the Thessalonican church in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, God hath not appointed us to wrath. He was not talking to the Jewish nation. He was talking to believers, those who had accepted Christ. They were not appointed to wrath. They were to be spared. They obtained what he would say, obtained salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul considered that comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort and edify one another with those words. So the early church could literally spread comfort to one another that no matter how bad it looked on the planet, and it was looking worse all the time, there was a great persecution against the Christian, and there was a great persecution that started then against the Jews. And I don't really want to take too many podcasts dealing with how we got to that place in AD 70, but there was a Jewish uprising against the Roman Empire that caused the Roman Empire to turn against that Jewish uprising and really unsettle a peace that Rome had had with Judaism for a long time. I mean, they literally had an exemption against calling Caesar God. They could say Yahweh is God. And they had a military coup, an uprising against Rome that brought down the fury of the Roman Empire on Judaism. Christianity was being persecuted by Nero in the 60s, about 30 years after Christ, at a fantastic rate. The deaths of the early apostles, those key figures of the New Testament, were deaths not only perpetrated by the Jewish nation, but many perpetrated by the Roman government, who began to see Christianity, Nero did, as an insurrection against Rome. And that would be, there would be a bloodbath then against both Christians and Jews. But Christianity was viewing the persecution against Christianity by the Romans as a persecution of Christ. They were viewing the Roman attack against Judaism as the hand of God. Let me repeat that. There was persecution against the Jews in the first century and against Christianity. The Christians were seeing persecution of themselves as being an attack against Christ. Paul would reiterate this on his testimony to the road to Damascus when he would see Jesus, and Jesus would say to Paul, this was Paul's conversion experience, Christ would say to him, "Why do you persecute me?" And Paul doesn't say, "What are you talking about? I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting people." You see, Christ saw a persecution against Christians as a persecution against himself. And Paul immediately gets that revelation on the road to Damascus. And it changes him. It turns him. If this man standing in front of me is Lord, and he knew he was Lord the moment he saw him, if that same man is Jesus, then I need to turn to Jesus. And if Jesus is asking me, why am I persecuting him, then all attacks against Christians are an attack against Christ. So the early church in mass saw Christian persecution as a demonic attack against Christ, and that demonic attack was being led by the Roman government, the empire. And so there was a certain division in the early church between the mentality of the Christian and this idea of nationalism. They did not have patriotism and nationalism in the early church because they saw themselves as diametrically opposed to the system of Rome. And so there was a real dichotomy between the nation and the church. I would propose that the church at her finest has always had a dichotomy between the nation and the church. The church at her sort of her fattest, her laziest, her weakest renditions of herself have been when she has been openly applauded and accepted by the nation. When Constantine, the Roman emperor of the early 4th century, legalized Christianity. He did not only just legalize it, he nationalized it. And he made Rome a quote-unquote Christian state. I say quote-unquote because how can you force people to be Christians? But he did. He did it at the end of the sword. And when he introduced the 4th century church to the idea that you could enforce Christianity, Christianity, for the most part, began to substitute the cross with the sword. And so you have, over the next 1,000 years, Christian-led crusades, people going into battle with a cross on their shield, doing things, killing in the name of God. You have Augustine that comes along and declares a just war. The fact that you can go fight justly on behalf of King Christ and King. Christ and King. Not Christ the King, but on behalf of Christ and the King. Oh, my goodness. Do you see how far down this road you can go and start to realize that somewhere along the way, the kingdom of God began to mesh itself almost romantically with the kingdom of this world. And what we're left with in this whole thing of, well, we don't look like the early church. Well, the reason why we don't look like the early church is we have not divorced ourselves from King for our cause. And we have decided that the best way to advance the cause is to have the King. And Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, my soldiers would fight." It might have been the most telling thing Jesus ever said in regards to the kingdom, and he said a lot about the kingdom. And so when you read that 9th verse of Romans 5, you are seeing Paul. We're going to get into the much more tomorrow, much more than having been justified by his blood. But you're seeing, I'm dealing with the end of it first, how the saved from wrath through Christ, Paul has established a difference in the persecution happening to a Christian and the judgment happening to the Jewish system. Because the early church saw that the system of Judaism and the leaders of Judaism of the first century had killed Christ. Peter makes it very clear, you killed him. And they saw then an indictment of justice and judgment coming against that generation. Not an indictment coming against a generation 2,000 years later. That's never made sense to me. Why a future eschatology would demand that God go judge a people 2,000 or 3,000 years after the fact, when that's not God's way. Keep that in mind when you think about the justice system of God in that day and age. All right, I've went long enough today. I've had a great time. I hope you have as well. We'll get into the much more now version of Romans 5:9 tomorrow, and I'll see you then. Grace to you.